Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Doing some family business focused on the family of Lake Forest for 6 weeks. And we've been going through the process of surrendering everything that God's given us and putting it up on the table back to Him. It's a process of listening, and now the process of doing. It's the idea of saying, God, all of my stuff, you know what? It's actually your stuff, and it's from you. And I recognize that. And God, then God, I'm listening. I've got the Bluetooth in my ear. I got the ear mullet on. Is there any of your stuff that you would call back for your purposes? And then finally, the last part this week and next week is just do it. Just do it. Do you remember when Nike rolled out their Just Do It campaign and the Just Do It commercials? It was this pure surge of testosterone and estrogen when you would see these commercials, particularly when they were new. You're like, oh, man. My favorite one was this old guy who was running in San Francisco. I don't know if anyone else remembers it. And you could tell it was the wee hours of the morning, and he's running across the Golden Gate Bridge. Anybody remember this? And you see it's cold, and you see his breath coming out. You can see it out of his nose and out of his mouth. And he's running. He says, you know, as a runner, it's gotten very difficult the older I get. Because as I grow old, my teeth start chattering in the frigid early mornings. It makes it hard for me to run. And then there's a moment, and you see him running. You see him sprinting to the finish of his workout. And he said, so now I just leave my teeth in the locker. And then it comes up, just do it. And something inside of me goes, yeah, just do it. Leave the teeth in the locker, man, that's me. Because there's a sense in all of us, there's this raw, kind of barbaric internal response when you're called to something great and something dangerous and something impactful. And it doesn't matter if we're men, women, where we live, there's this inner cry of something going off inside of us. It's something, it seems, is going off inside of a lot of people in this church. And boy, did I see it in and around the prayer experience of those who took us up on this offer to experience with something really different and go to a whole level, a new level in prayer. And there's something going off inside of us as a church to be a church that is unified around just doing mission. The mission of Jesus Christ. Not to be a church that is same old, that's unified around whether or not anybody's hurt my feelings lately. Not to be a church that's unified around did I like that last song or not that they played last week. A church that's not unified around everybody in the church being at the same stage of their spiritual growth. We're all reading the same books and we can all do the Greek language at the same time. Or we're all seekers, quote unquote. We're choosing not to be unified over whether or not my child had a bad week in the nursery last week. We will not be unified around what comforts us as Christians in America or what allows us to contribute as little as possible so we can be consumers of spiritual goods and services. We will just do it on the mission of Jesus Christ. Because the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Savior of the world and of sinners, and He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord, is such good news that we will just do it to increase and continue our relational witness to this life-changing news about Jesus to people who are hungry for God and hungry for food. And this is what we will be unified around. And in Love 10, in the next few years, this means that we will increase our space just right here to reach and disciple people. More people who've given up on church but haven't given up on God. We will increase our witness for Jesus by starting one new Jesus-centered church in the Lake Norman area in 2011. We will love our Samaria relationally by loving a local pocket of some extra need with a ministry center, with friendship and an uplifting enterprise, while we continue to sacrifice generously for the good news of Jesus to be spread even to the ends of the earth. And we will do this because we know and we take joy from the fact that God is looking to partner and get involved in the life of people and churches who follow Jesus wholeheartedly, even when it's risky, even when it's dangerous, even when it's sacrificial, because the mission matters so much. And in this love to the power of 10, emphasis and focus for all of us of prayer, scripture study, small groups, active and contemplative prayer, there's some of us realizing, you know what? Maybe I've been neglecting my capacity and my calling to be more risky and sold out for the kingdom of God in the way I live my life. And maybe it's not because I'm necessarily greedy. You know, I'm making all that I need and maybe doing what I should do with my funds, you know, according to all measurements. But we're asking ourselves, how would God want me to optimize and maximize all the gifts and talents and passion I have for the kingdom of God to advance His cause and live on mission? In relationships, in servanthood, and even in giving. And I saw how some of you are wrestling with this powerfully yesterday in some of the written prayers on the unspoken station in the tent. It was powerful. I couldn't believe some of the things that we are wrestling with. It's beautiful. Writing down before God, Lord, I do not want to choose to be a merely civilized person with a conventional life that's all predictable and it's around things, all the things that America and this kingdom of thingdom can offer us. I want my life to leave an impact for the kingdom of God here. And so this is starting to be clear for a lot of us. A new step, a next step in unity around mission with our brothers and sisters at Lake Forest. And so I want to spell out for the rest of our time this morning, for those of us who call Lake Forest home, what are our choices for just doing it next week? When we all present our Love 10 relational ministry commitments as well as our generosity commitments over the next 3 years. All of us who call Lake Forest home next week will bring our Love 10 commitment card for relational ministry and giving. And our first fruits offering, an upfront portion in worship next Sunday. And we've talked about principles of surrender. We've talked about principles of listening. And today, I just want to talk about choices when it's time to just do it out of a teaching of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for the rest of our time this morning. 2 Corinthians 9, you may want to turn there in your own Bible or one of the Bibles in the chair there. And if you don't own a Bible in a modern translation that you can understand when you read it, please take one of these in the seats as our gift to you. A ministry partner very generously refreshed all of our Bibles recently so we can give more away. So please take one. So this is something that the Apostle Paul wrote related to it being time to actually give in a specific local church that's about the same age and stage of life as our church is. So let's stand to honor the reading of God's word, and let's read this passage together, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You may be seated. Paul is talking to a specific Christian church about a specific offering they are about to have to benefit others by furthering Jesus' great commission. And they've been talking about this gift, and he'd written them about it before, talked to them about it when he was there, and now it's time for them to just do it. And so he gives them a teaching about it, kind of like us. Now, contrary to what I know some of you are wrestling with here, talking about giving specifically to resource the mission of Jesus Christ in this world through his church, it isn't about law. It isn't about rule-oriented Christianity. It's about a generous and free response to God's generosity to us through the grace of Jesus Christ in actions that reflect on the outside what's true about us internally, that we are in Christ and He is in us. And we reflect externally the grace of Jesus Christ. And so calling teachings like Paul's here and other ones that we've been giving law or rule-oriented Christianity is a grave misunderstanding. Or even worse, it's a willful choice to choose to live in a fantasy, mind and belief-only Christianity instead of following Jesus in our mind, in our heart, and emotions, and in our will, and our actions. Now, Paul points out a few choices that we are going to wrestle through as we approach next week and our time to just do it. So the first choice that he teaches us here is we give sparingly or generously in verse 6. And he goes into this whole metaphor where there's seed, right? If you look back over your passage there. And now, when it comes to seed, I'm not very experienced, okay? I can't really. If he had said it had something to do with football, I could tell you more about that. But seed, all I've ever planted are a couple of lawns, okay? And one of the things you know, if you ever do plant something, you have to make the decision. Am I going to just kind of sprinkle a little bit of seed? Because seed isn't cheap. Or is it going to be sprinkled generously? Because when I've done lawns, after you rototill it, man, you rent that rototiller, right? You do it with the neighborhood, the cul-de-sac, and you all chip in. And it's more expensive, the time and the sweat and the getting stuff all over you, than it is the money. If you do it with your neighbors, a little tip for you. After you do all that, right, and you know you're going to water it for the next month, the last thing I want to do is go cheap on the seed and just put a little bit of seed out there because I want a lush lawn. I'm believing in faith 2 weeks from now at my house. After I bragged about my yard, if you were here last spring with no weeds, the justice of the Lord was visited upon my front yard this summer. So I'm believing in greenness 2 weeks from now. But this is something that we know. And some of you have rototilled and aerated your life. You've allowed the gracious activity of the Holy Spirit in as you've engaged here at Lake Forest. With others learning the scriptures maybe for the first time or going deeper in service to the less fortunate, speaking about your faith. And what I want to say is after the rototilling, don't go cheap on the seed. Don't be sparing on the seed. One of the things that if you want a lush life from your Heavenly Father is to make a decision. Am I going to give sparingly outside of myself? And this has to do with a generosity of life and actions, relationships, servanthood, the principle extends to. But Paul's speaking specifically of financial giving here to the Corinthians. And say, am I going to give sparingly outside of myself? Or am I going to give generously outside of myself in actions, serving, and giving? Sometimes when I walk through airports, I'll pick up Forbes or Money Magazine or Fortune just for kicks to learn a little bit more about how to think well about money. And one of them had an online survey, and the plane was experimenting with free internet online. So I was like, okay, I'll take that. So I took their little survey, which was basically to figure out how financially fit you were. It took about 10 minutes, and they gave me a grade based on a number of things. If I balanced our checkbook every month, if we paid off our credit cards every month or carried a balance, if we review our insurance policies and some of the limits, if we had some emergency savings. And I got to the end of it, and you know what? There wasn't a single solitary question about giving, about generosity. Nothing. And I thought, that's the kingdom of thingdom in the midst of civilized America. That's our view of our money. That giving would just be an afterthought. It wouldn't be part of a healthy material existence, right? Giving's really only there for two reasons. We think of it sparingly as a culture, not generously. It's really just there for two reasons. Number one, you know what? I need a little bit of a tax write-off this year. That'll help my financial portfolio, so I'll sow sparingly just to get that write-off. Or, you know, somebody's asking me to give, and I just want to get them out of my face, frankly. So I'll give a little bit sparingly, okay, to use the Apostle Paul's word here in this teaching. And that's, statistically speaking, about as much thought as most Americans who are struggling with living in the kingdom of thingdom as our primary reality. That's about as much thought as most of us give to giving, statistics tell us. We're very sparing in what we give in Paul's language. And what Paul teaches here is the more you want God involved in your life, in your generosity, then the more you give. And so generously. Not just in finances, but in friendship, in time. Now, understand me. When we talk about sowing and reaping, sow your seed in order to reap. I'm not talking televangelism speak here, okay? In fact, if you know me, you know that I advise people pretty much never to watch Christian TV, okay? Ever. Because, not just because the hair is bad, but the teaching is bad. There's like this inverse ratio. The longer a preacher is on TV, the more heresy they talk themselves into. I don't know why that is. It just seems to be a law in the universe. We're not talking about that. I'm not saying when you generously give, you'll necessarily be financially blessed. What I'm saying is you want a sparing amount of God in your life, then get spiritually involved in things outside of yourself, including our finances, which is the concrete representation of ourself. You want a generous portion of God involved in your life and all things that brings in a lush spiritual crop popping up inside your life? Then give generously, Paul says, to God's kingdom purpose through the local church. That's what he's writing about. So Lake Forest, we choose sparing or generous. And in the first week of this series, we saw that Jesus taught that this begins with a tithe. I'd like to invite one of our ministry partners up just to tell a little bit of he and his wife's God story when it comes to principles of generosity. This is Chris Hazlett. Will you welcome him? Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Mike.
Yes.
My name's Chris Hazlett, just like what Mike said, and this is a story more so on how my wife's thought process came about through giving. And just some background on her. She didn't grow up in the church. Her parents are anti-Christian. They're certainly not believers, but we're working on that every day. She became a Christian right before we got married about 9 years ago. And we have been at Lake Forest for about eight and a half years right now. And within 2 years of our time here, the Dairy to Move campaign was launched to move from the Y into our current building. We were both active participants in the church, but from a financial standpoint, we really only gave from my paycheck, tithe from my paycheck and not hers. She just wasn't very comfortable giving. She gave to other charities, but church, she just didn't like to give to church. And at that time in my profession, I just wasn't making a lot of money, and every penny counted. Since we got involved in the church, we were in a community group. We've been leaders of community groups for a long time. But back then, there were a lot of folks in our group that had similar feelings to what Jen had. Some were new Christians that never gave. But we were really challenged by Malachi 3:10, which states, "Bring your whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have enough room for it." Well, we decided with a lot of talk, discussion, and prayer, and have Jen make the decision like everyone else in our group. We decided as a community group we were going to pledge for the next 3 years of giving. It was a way for everybody to feel comfortable knowing that we were all going to give. And it made it a lot easier for it to pledge. This was extremely hard for her, as she was very distrusting as to where money was going in the church and her misconceptions of organized religion. Her heart softened as she began to give, and she became more invested in the church. One of the things that really fired her up was she found out that the church actually tithed 10% of all giving to other ministries around the world. So that was a bonus for her. You know, you may hear sometimes of immediate financial blessings when people begin to give, and this certainly was not the case with us. God doesn't always bless money with money, but his blessings may come from relationships with other folks in the church, peace with your finances, and really realizing that by giving what God is truly his is very, very freeing. And we experienced all of this. On a side note, a year later, our tax rebate was almost to the dollar of what we had given to the church. And as we reflect, we realize the biggest lesson that we learned in giving is to give God his first fruits back immediately. Because if we waited, we tend to spend it, and then we freak out at the end of the month, and we feel like we look and see how much we have to owe the church. So we realize that to give it immediately was a big blessing for us. But as my income rose, we got excited about how much we could give the church, give the community, and other missions. And it's not Jen and I's place to ask you to give to the church, but from what we've learned, we just need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and take God's challenge to trust him, because he will honor that faith. And we did. We took his test, and we were proof that he is faithful. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for being willing to talk about you all's giving decision as a couple to move from sparing to generous. So this is the first choice that Paul puts out there for us when it's time to just do it. Well, I'll be generous, or I'll be sparing in sowing my seed. And trust that God will return a crop. And sometimes it'll be financial, sometimes it will be something else. The second choice that we see here when it's time to just do it in kingdom giving is we choose to give a fair share or a free-flowing amount. Now, fair sharers kind of go like this. Okay, let's see. We got X thousand people at Lake Forest Church, and for Love 10, we need X amount of money, and so let me do my chism bop. Okay, so this is how much everybody should give. Let me work on that. And fair sharers are sort of concerned with what other people are going to do because I don't want to be the idiot who does more than somebody else. The people in the kingdom of God who are moving to generosity think a little differently. They think, you know what? It's okay what other people do, but this is between me and the Lord. This is between me and, as they said, our community group, people who we're doing life with and studying scriptures with and challenging and exhorting each other into more abundant life. And I want to be a free-flowing person, right? And so if we're a fair sharer, we look at our life and we tend to look at it like a container. Okay, God, you're going to pour all the stuff and the blessings that you want to give me into my life, and then I'll choose how to pick some of that out to sort of sparingly fair share outside of my container. But the generous, spiritually dangerous, free-flowing people say, I'm not a vessel. I'm not a container of God's blessing. I'm a pipeline of God's blessings. And as God pumps things into my life, because by faith, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me as my new spiritual nature that I share with the very nature of the Trinity. I want to be a channel, a pipeline of all of His grace and generosity to me, to into what God is passionate about in this world, which is loving people. And so now when God pumps things into your life and into your pipe, there's a lot of nice things that stick in our pipe that are blessings from God and are for us. As we've said all along through this series, God is not anti nice things and enjoying His material blessings in this world. But the attitude is, I want to be a pipeline to what God is doing through His kingdom work in my Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And many of us are making these kinds of choices right now, generously, sparingly, free-flowing, or not. And we're in this journey because there were a lot of people who went through a similar journey 6 years ago that Chris just told us about. And the only reason you and I have had space to invite our friends here is because of that journey. The reason we have space to trade stories of the grace of Jesus to one another week after week here is because those who went on that journey. Angie and I and our boys live in Lake Norman because 42 people went through a similar journey that Paul's talking about here 12 years ago. And their whole goal was to start a new church. It was a generous goal. It was to be free-flowing with their whole life, to start a new church in the Lake Norman area for their friends who had given up on church but hadn't necessarily given up on God, because God's put a hunger for Himself and for eternity in every human heart. And it was a clear vision, and it was an occasion for those 42 people to live out of extreme generosity of self and giving to start this church. And the vision wasn't ever to be any certain size of a church. It was simply to be a winsome community of Jesus followers to people who've given up on church but haven't given up on God. And now we continue on that same mission, on the path, the same direction God's led us in for the first 10 years. To make more and better followers of Jesus always is the mission. And all the way along, the mission to spread Jesus' love one relationship at a time in the Lake Norman area has been resourced by free flowers, not fair sharers, in a big way. I remember two different couples in a short space of time just invited me in to something they were praying about. One couple said, Mike, frankly, we got this big fat wad of cash from an inheritance, right? What everybody goes to bed dreaming about at night, they got it. Another couple said, Mike, we have sold our business. We've been giving generously and tithing back to the Lord all through building our business, but we just sold it for a really large amount. And we're just praying about what would God have us do with this money. They wanted to talk this over with me. And we were like, well, let's see, what does the Bible say about that? Are you supposed to tithe on that? Well, I mean, very clearly, the Bible does not say anywhere, when thou sellest thy business for a profiteth, thou must tithest 10% off of the profits from the sale thereof. It's not in there. It's not that specific. And they were just coming and saying, man, I just got in on their prayer life about this. And they were... their heart was, God has put more seed in our life. And we want to be sowers. We want to be a pipeline to the things that God cares about and have an impact for people knowing Jesus. And because they saw life change in the life of the church, a church that's on the mission for Jesus. Because they saw impact in other parts of the world through our giving to missions and partnership. Because they saw people with a roof over their heads here who had nowhere to live in our church, right? They wanted to be very generous. They wanted to be free flowers because something had happened inside of them. So I can be generous or sparing, free flowing or fair sharer. And the third choice, when it's time to just do it, as Paul says to the Corinthians, is I can give, I can just do it reluctantly or willingly. Here's how Paul puts it in verse 7. He says, each person should give what he's decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Now, we've committed to this in Love 10, and I hope you feel that we followed through, not guilting anyone into anything. We've challenged, and I haven't been afraid to do that out of the scriptures. But no one's called any of us and said, okay, you know, we kind of took a look at the car you drive and the neighborhood you're in, and here's kind of what we think, you know, you should be good for, and if everybody does that deal, then we'll be okay. No, we're not doing anything that has to do with compulsion or guilt at all. We want a church full of willing givers responding freely to the grace that has been poured out to us in Jesus Christ. And so, it's about cheerful giving. This is where Paul teaches about cheerful giving. And now, some of us in America, when we hear that, oh, cheerful giver, I'm glad we're doing it that way. I'm all about cheerful giving. Because most Americans define cheerful giving in this way. Well, great, I'll just have to give a little bit to keep God happy with me because that's what I can be cheerful about, right? Let me sit down. What do I feel good about? Here's something. That didn't hurt. I'm very cheerful about that because it wasn't sacrificial. And that's what often we think is meant by a cheerful giver. But in fact, that's not what it means. When you take a look at the original Greek word here, translated as cheerful, in the original Greek, it's the root of our word hilarious. And so it's actually not just being a cheerful, happy thing that I feel at a football game. It's like hilarious, ridiculous, laughing level giver. Hilarious level relative to the standard of living rat race that's all around us. And so that's what it is. It's a hilarious, hilarious giving. Now next week, at the end of Love 10, we're inviting our whole community to do a one-time, generous, upfront gift amount that we're calling our first fruits offering, and then a 3-year commitment to this vision of Love 10. And Angie and I have been working on these gifts that we will present in worship next week along with all of our friends. And so I want to tell you just a little bit about our giving decision, because in the Bible, King David in the Old Testament, he talked about his financial gift in front of the people of God to God's work. So that's kind of part of my responsibility as a leader, while everyone else's gift is very private. So Angie and I are being led, and we're still working on how to give as generous a gift as we've ever given. We want to be free-flowing, a pipeline. And what that will mean for us, very literally, is over and above our regular monthly giving to ministry and mission here, we will give a separate gift over the 3 years that will total up to 16% of our income in a 1-year period. So over 3 years, we'll give a gift that's total to 16% of any given year of our annual income. That's what we're doing. And it's an amount that when we did all these little things and then we totaled it up, we just were like, that's hilarious. Really? That's like crazy. That's insane. That is not normal, man. Wow. That's awesome. And in fact, when we look at it, it's an amount that makes us a little high. And like, hilarious. Really? We could do that? We get to leave this kind of a legacy? And we're doing it in 3 ways. One, we've identified a sacrificial amount we can carve out monthly over and above what is our normal giving here by putting off some things we wanted to do and stopping some other things. Secondly, we're making a few choices to do without some events and some things that we had planned. Our next family trip, which is on the calendar, we've now planned to be in-state instead of out-of-state. And that allows us to add a large chunk of cash to our first fruits gift next week. And then thirdly, 20% of the gift that I just said is going to be a faith amount for us. We don't know where it's coming from. We added 20% on and said, Lord, we don't want to only give what we can see by sight. We want to give by faith. And we will just laugh with you over the next 3 years as we see where that last 20% comes from. And that's what Angie and I are doing. And it feels like a privilege to sow our seed generously for us when we add it up. And it's frankly hilarious. And you will have your own discernment with God, the Holy Spirit. Those with massive capacity, massive gifts, those with 10 pennies, a massive gift of one extra penny. And it'll be beautiful and unified as a church. And it'll be just what the Lord intends for it to be. Now, compared to the way that conventional people live in the kingdom of thingdom in our culture, this is hilarious to live this way, friends. It just is. It's countercultural. As people following Jesus, not HGTV, for our standard of living. And it's the way we are designed to live, putting our treasure where our heart is with the kingdom of God. And so for some of us, for the first time, sort of sensing this radical generosity. And there's this willing attitude that we have that strikes a sort of a satisfaction chord within us that's never been struck before. When we hilariously, willingly, free-flowingly move out of the kingdom of thingdom into the kingdom of God with our treasure. And if you go there, it's a place beyond your wildest spiritual dreams. Because inside all of our hearts, we really want to have a dependent relationship with God. All of us in our hearts, we really want to know that we are about other people and blessing other people. And we really want to know, are the hilarious giving decisions I make truly impacting people? And they are. If we could just put up on the table here with our stuff, all the life change in this place over 12 years. The life change in Bolivia, Mexico, in India as a result of our partnership. The marriages that are still together. The people who came here broken from a divorce and are now healed and remarried. The singles who came here and now say, my most important relationship in my life is with my Heavenly Father, and I'm content in that. The addiction that's been conquered through the power of Christ. Oh, this life change. You can't quantify stories of life change through the power of God. And when you see this stuff, you become willing, you become free-flowing, and you want to be generous because the cry of our heart is to have an impactful life, not a manageable life. And that's the last choice when it's time to just do it. To give manageably or impactfully. And one of the ways we want to symbolize our desire for our impact of our witness of Jesus' love to spread through Lake Norman is when you leave today, you'll grab a box of chalk out of baskets out there. And this is for you to graffiti Love 10 anywhere you choose to claim an increase to the witness of Jesus' love in our Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria. I've already done so unobtrusively on the entrance sign to my neighborhood. I just scribbled Love 10 there. And you can put it wherever you like. Have your children draw chalk anywhere in your neighborhood where you are asking for an increase of love. And I'll email out to you. Take a picture of where you do it. There's mine. Take a picture of it and send it to love@lakeforest.org, and we'll post them on our Facebook page. If you get arrested while you're graffitiing Love 10, send the picture really fast. Push send before they confiscate your possessions. And we'll highlight that picture. Just let us know. Hey, let me finish here. I don't know if you've seen the movie Troy. It was out a little while ago. If you saw it, you'll remember it because in the first scene, you see Brad Pitt's butt. But there's a much better scene than that. Brad Pitt is Achilles, the greatest warrior in history, in Greek history. And they come up on the beach for their signature battle and get out of the boat. And Brad Pitt steps out on the beach with his sword lifted high and says, men, go get your immortality. And I see that and I'm like, just like the Nike commercial. Oh, yeah. Because whenever you start talking about something that's above and beyond you, it strikes a chord in us. And every person in here wants to know that our life matters. We want to know that our life had impact. We didn't just manage it, that it had impact. And that's the way we're created. And we may have covered over how we're created to live for impact, not accumulation, because of the kingdom of thingdom all around us. And so that cord never gets plucked. But when the cord to leave an impact for the kingdom of God because you follow Jesus gets plucked, it resonates and reverberates all around us. And you have this cheerful, hilarious, free-flowing sense of This is what I created to do, was created to do. And you get a hilarious willing, I get to do this? Giving of my whole life symbolically through dollars? Wow. Giving my whole life for people who are hungry for God and hungry for food on mission with Jesus. And once you've had this cord inside of you plucked, the desire to be impactful, to give and live and serve outside of yourself, you can never go back to the kingdom of kingdom again. You might vacation there every now and then, but you can't go back for good because you realize this is what I was created for. Let me pray over us. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends. Lord, for those who are not part of Lake Forest, give them freedom to know that these scriptures are not specifically about love 10, but that every one of us must find something that will outlast us. God, that you've made us to find something bigger than us, that will pluck this and stroke this cord within us, and that it will resonate outside of our life. And God, lead us here at Lake Forest to embrace the opportunity we have next week to be part of something bigger than all of us, something that will impact us, more importantly, that will increase your witness to the love and the resurrection of Jesus in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and continuing to the ends of the earth. So God, I thank you for the journey we've been on, and we thank you that you will show up in our worship next week joyfully. It will be an incredibly fun time. We look forward to seeing how you will grow us over the next week, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.